You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
For old time's sake, yes or no, would you like to be leader of the National Party at some point?
No, I'm just focused on what I'm doing. I'm one of those people that do it day by day, job by job.
I'll save this clip and come back to it in 5 or 10 years. We'll see how it's aged.
The Wire.
The Ministry of Housing and Urban Development's latest Homelessness Insights report shows that there has been an increase in homelessness across Aotearoa. In particular, the report, like other research, including a report from IHI Research last year, highlighted a disproportionate impact of homelessness on Māori and Pacific populations, as well as women and younger demographics. I was interested in delving into the correlation between these findings about homelessness and health outcomes for the populations who face exacerbated impacts. I spoke with both Manaaki Rangatahi spokesperson Brooke Stanley and Māori health researcher Dr. Madeline Schelling about the impact of homelessness on Māori and Pacific health. My first interview is with Brooke from Manaaki Rangatahi. I start by asking how she engages with the issue of homelessness in her mahi. Can you talk about how you engage with the issue of poverty and homelessness in your mahi?
So Manaaki Rangatahi is a youth homelessness collective. So we work with youth housing providers and youth service providers to mitigate the harm that's happening on the front lines and then prevent youth homelessness while also calling for systems change. So policy changes that are required, values changes actually that are required to centre and actually do what's in our name, Manaaki Rangatahi.
What correlation have you observed between housing stress or homelessness and the decline of an individual's mental, physical or even spiritual health?
Yeah, I think if we think about even just ourselves and the security that those of us do have, when we're in a warm home, when we don't have to stress about, you know, paying our bills, putting food on our table, all those things that I think many of us in Aotearoa can actually take for granted. And what happens if we don't have access to those things? There's an obvious decline in people's mental health and their spiritual health and in their own well-being. And so I think it's really important that actually we think about, when we think about homelessness, we also think about our bodies as being homes and how well each of us actually has access to actually looking after ourselves. And like you say, if we don't have access to a physical warm home and the support from those around us, if we don't, you know, if we're stressed out about paying our bills, if we're stressed out about putting food on the table, if we're stressed out about paying our rent, then all of those things start to actually make us really unwell.
Your body as your home, that's such a great way to encapsulate this issue, especially in its relationship to health. Why is it important in particular to take on a Māori or Pacifica lens when talking about and addressing these issues?
I think the biggest difference is because of the values and frameworks that often Māori and Pacifica lens have that Western frameworks are missing. And so even just being able to see ourselves, you know, our bodies as home, coming from our mums, who's also we would view as our as homes too. And I think this mantra of housing being a human right, and that actually everyone deserves warm and affordable housing and the things required to keep themselves well. And I think within Te Ao Māori and Te Ao Pacifica, those things are a lot more easier to talk about. It's a lot easier to talk about your spirit, you know, your wairua, your that's such an intrinsic part of conversations of those worlds. And I think when we try and translate them into a Pākehā lens or a Western colonial framework, often that spirit aspect gets left behind. It's not often spoken to or talked about, and it's dismissed as not being real. And so I think that's why it's really important to kind of bring, but the thing is, these values, they don't just exist in Te Ao Māori and Te Ao Pacifica, they exist in lots of different Indigenous cultures across the world, that there is a recognition and acknowledgement of spirit. And I think that's the biggest difference, to be honest, between Indigenous frameworks and Western colonial frameworks is missing that really vital and important aspect.
I see that this Indigenous perspective is missing or neglected in political conversations. I was wondering if there are any other certain considerations or needs that you do feel are neglected in these conversations about homelessness and housing insecurity, especially in regard to maybe the day-to-day impacts on individuals?
Yeah, I think that we often don't talk about the genealogy, about how everything is actually connected. We don't talk about like what's happened in the past, where we're at right now and where we want to go. We often don't talk about, we kind of missing from these conversations, I think, is really important connections as to the issues that we find ourselves in today. We don't take a deeper look at why things are the way they are, and actually we don't take an intervention approach. You know, if we just allow people to give them what they need to look after themselves, then we'll find that actually we'll have quite thriving communities and societies. Those things are often quite radical approaches, seen as like kind of idealistic in so many ways. Also quite hard, I think, for us to grapple with in a society and world that's quite ego-driven, that's built on values that are intentional in keeping us divided, not only each other, also within ourselves. And so I think, just coming back to this notion of actually everything is one, and that everything is connected is a really important part that's missing from political conversations, from political kaupapa. And I think moving forward, if we're to kind of come under, we should be coming under the banner and cloak of te tiriti and actually uniting our kaupapa and being really aspirational in what we want for ourselves and each other and our children. Yeah, based on kind of what's been, what's happening at the moment, but actually more importantly, where are we going? And I think, we often don't do that enough in conversations in Parliament, in our homes, even in our workspaces, even in the news. Like, we get kind of really soundbite stuff all the time. There's not a lot of places that many of us can go to or have access to there where these kinds of kōrero or conversations are happening.
Finally, in light of this Homelessness Insights report, which has just come out, what recommendations would you make to the government or to policymakers in terms of responding to this rise of homelessness?
Yeah, I think we have to really look at our values as leaders in that space. I think we have to look at the values that determine some of the policy shifts that have happened in that space and that have given rise to homelessness. We need to protect public housing, and we need to have some kind of interim strategy that addresses the increase in homelessness and lack of housing, affordable housing supply in Aotearoa, and enshrining the right to housing. Like, I mean, housing is a human right. I think that when people have housing, you know, they're less likely to harm others, harm themselves, harm others. And, you know, they can focus on the more of those aspirational parts of who they are in terms of, like, who they're wanting to be, who they're wanting to become. So it's such an integral part of all of us, actually, housing, and the way that we see housing and perceive housing and talk about it, and that it shouldn't be a commodity. It shouldn't be something that you can only access if you can afford it. Like, there are some things in life that, what is it, you know, money shouldn't matter. Whether or not you have money, it shouldn't matter whether or not you can access it. And for us at Manaaki Rangatahi, housing is one of those things that everyone should have access to. And we can do that here in Aotearoa, actually. We have the resources. We just need the political will and the leadership that's required, that actually people need to be brave. People need to stand up for those communities that have been always underserved by successive governments, actually, as well as this government, and say, like, actually, this is what people need, and this is the right thing to do.
I also spoke with Madeline Schelling about this topic. I started by asking her to talk about how this latest report connects to previous research on the impact of homelessness on Māori.
For sure. So they were looking specifically at women in homelessness in Aotearoa. That ended up being quite a focus on particularly Māori, because it's around 4 out of 5 women in homelessness are Māori. And there's really particular kind of gendered issues that women face in homelessness. You know, hygiene, pregnancy, removal of children, financial insecurity is a massive one for older women, you know, where they have lived in a time where they will not have contributed as much to the KiwiSaver over their lifetime, or experienced, you know, gender pay gaps for their whole working life, and now are more vulnerable to that financial insecurity. Women are also particularly more likely to experience sexual and domestic violence. And a lot of women's homelessness is actually quite hidden, with women, you know, maybe living in places that they shouldn't be because they have children, or the couch surfing, or there's sex work involved in a, you know, in sort of a transactional sense for those who are wanting to stay in a house and not be on the streets, but that becomes a transaction with wanting to remain in housing. And yeah, there's just an increased likelihood of harm as a result of pregnancy, sexual violence, menstruation, sex work, and women are also more likely to have mental health issues if they're homeless, and, you know, compounding effects of trauma, addiction and poverty are really deeply interconnected for women. And this isn't to say that these aren't issues for men, but, you know, our current policies and strategies and interventions often really lack this gendered perspective and kind of fail to address the specific and really diverse needs that women have compared to men. Yeah, and so this kind of this report really highlighted the intersectionality between poverty, gender, ethnicity, age, and how those have come about from systemic issues.
What would you say are some of these factors that contribute to food insecurity in Aotearoa being one of the worst in the OECD, to the disproportionate disadvantage of Māori and Pacific populations?
Colonisation, definitely, and Pacifica do fall into that space, as they were part of the kind of urbanisation migration movement. Food security follows a pattern all around the world where minority populations, such as Indigenous people or in America, say African Americans, minority populations overwhelmingly experience the health outcomes of food insecurity, so diabetes and obesity. And while there's often classified as, you know, individual issues and things like, you know, no one's putting McDonald's in your mouth and things like that, it's kind of blamed on the individual, it's actually systemic issues that have come from colonisation. So when we look in Aotearoa, the disposition of land is probably the biggest grievance between Māori and the Crown. And, you know, when you lose your land, you lose your food supply. You know, you lose your access to traditional foods, and that leads to a dependence on a capitalist food system that is both unfamiliar to you but also the only option, through colonisation. And that pattern is seen all over the world, where Indigenous people who have lost access to the traditional foods are therefore more dependent on a capitalist food system. And that, because our capitalist food system is obesogenic, you know, it fosters an unhealthy food environment that is disproportionately experienced by Māori and Pacifica and Indigenous people all around the world. So this is a global pattern of minorities experiencing food insecurity because of these systemic issues.
Do you think that there's enough emphasis on the importance of housing and food security on Māori and Pacifica health outcomes? By that, I don't just mean physical, but also mental and even spiritual health as well.
No, and there's not. At the end of the day, and, you know, housing, the solutions that they're looking at is just houses, but actually, you know, particularly for Māori and Pacifica who are facing additional barriers, there's more to it than that. You know, there's the intersectionality of colonization, of discrimination, of racism, of distrust in government systems, and a real deeply meaningful wraparound support is required. It's not just about having a house, you know, there you go. People who are homeless or people who are food insecure have a lot of other compounding issues in their lives that have to do with incarceration, addiction, disability, mental health, trauma, you know, the discrimination that I mentioned. And a lot of these systemic issues come from colonization that are particularly unique to Māori and Pacifica in a different way.
You've kind of already spoken about it here, but just as a summarizing question, I suppose, what kind of legislative change or a governmental response relating to addressing these factors would you recommend to effectively respond to the challenges faced by Māori and Pacific people when it comes to health in the context of housing and food insecurity?
My research in particular is looking at developing a food security assessment tool that incorporates the Te Ao Māori perspective. So rather than just asking, do you have access to food banks or soup kitchens, it's asking, do you have connection to your marae? Do you have whānau around, you know, to really do you have those traditional collective supports that, you know, are culturally relevant to you as Māori? And the same goes for homelessness. You know, homeless interventions in Aotearoa align to the Eurocentric individualized concept of what having a home looks like, and it doesn't incorporate what for Māori being housed and being safe and being home means. And so I think we really need to go back to the foundations of our understanding of what homelessness is, what food insecurity is, and what that means from different perspectives. Because from Te Ao Māori and also from Pacifica, there's very different understandings of what these are at their core and what the aspirations are in terms of food insecurity. You know, for Māori, it's not just about food security. It's not just about having sufficient calories. It's about having a connection to your whenua and therefore a connection to the kai that comes from that whenua. And so I think, first of all, going back to a real understanding of what these issues are and mean to different groups of people, but then also aligning our strategies and our policies to these different worldviews and to these different aspirations. Yeah, just to ensure that that different needs are being met, and rather than just being like, oh, you're Māori, I think you need this, or you're Pacifica, I think, you know, your culture might mean this. Actually asking Māori and Pacifica, what are your aspirations in this space, and how can that happen with wraparound support?
That was Dr. Madeline Schelling and Manaaki Rangatahi's Brooke Stanley talking about homelessness in Aotearoa and its impact on Māori and Pacific populations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.